I would like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Julianne.
Hi, I'm Julianne, anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julianne.
And I will try to speak slower than normal. 15 and 10 is fine, I've been programmed probably about 12 years, been abstinent for about 10. I'm a really nice person, and I brought a friend to program because she threw up a lot. Such a nice person. And I stayed. My story goes a bit like, probably around when I was a teenager was when my disease really started acting up. But always, if I remember back to food, and I was raised Catholic, and at Christmas time you get these little Santa sacks full of candy, and I'd polish off mine before breakfast, and then have breakfast, and then be going through my sister's, and I'd feel sick, and eat more. Note to self. So I went down that line. I was we had this sport called athletics, but it was little athletics because we were kids, so we were little. And you got little athletics. And so I was quite athletic and all that sort of stuff, and pretty successful at that. And then this puberty thing happened. Really didn't work well for me because I wanted to be straight up and down. Got the opposite. And really didn't help with the speed on the track. So I think that kind of kicked in with me, sort of like, oh my God, how can I be thin, how can I be thin? And my idea of dieting was eating or not eating. And I don't think I ever lasted a day on a diet, honestly. I think you all know the routine. I start on the Monday and blah, 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 and I have stuffed it up, so you may as well just keep eating and keep eating until the next Monday. Like, you know, God forbid you start something in the next 5 minutes. Ooh, who knew that concept? And so I kind of went through my teenage years and just kind of really struggling with food. And I look back now, and of course you look back, and like I was kind of normal size, I guess, but always wanted to be thin. And I just think what I really had was an uncomfortability with being in the world. So, food made me feel good, and you know, my sugar, chocolate was my high. And I just did weird things with it, like make it last, eating it, and just weird things. And so then I got it towards later teens, and you know you got something with food when it's a birthday present and you get framed the chocolate wrapper for a gift from your friends. So they knew. And you know, in Australia you get to go out much younger, so you're kind of drinking from 16 and going out and partying at clubs, and you know, got to stop by the 7-Eleven on the way home and gorge myself and go to bed, and you know, I kind of... It's amazing who you attract in your life when you're in your disease. I met this man who was a vegan, so I became the vegan and cut out everything. And oh my God, thank God they teach you not to preach in this program, because I was the most awful vegan, because I tell everybody why they should be a vegan. Yeah, I was great to have at parties. It's really, really cool. Yeah, because I was drinking distilled water, not real, you know, regular water, and fruits and vegetables. Yeah. My personality was about as varied as my diet. Just a joy. And I was one of those people that, you like, people would come up to me in the bar and be like, wow, aren't you smiling? I'd like to kill you. No problem. And I just always felt less than, and sort of that low self-esteem thing, but didn't have any words to articulate. I didn't know it had anything to do with feelings. I was just like, no, I just need to get in shape and be perfect, and then I'll live happily ever after and be famous or rich, and that's the point. So I found this person and lived that lifestyle, and oh God, and I think I was probably only anorexic for about 3 months. I was really not a successful anorexic, and because then I ate and I just was like, oh my God, I was like, and I thought I was so smart because I thought I'd eat and throw it up, so I could eat and throw it up. There was a solution. So I went down that sort of spiraling path, and I mean, God, I've just done everything to control food, from laxatives to smoking cigarettes to diet pills to acupuncture, anything that, you know, was a phantom promise of, you know, basically I think what I wanted was you can eat whatever you want and weigh what you want to weigh, and then I would have been happy if I had found that solution. So I actually came over here the first time when I was 22. I think I got into program around 23. Broke up with the vegan. Got into program, and I just really struggled with it. I didn't understand. The big book literally was like reading people were hugging each other, and I was just, oh, it's so uncomfortable. And there was a podium in the first one, and then I was new, and this person came up and spoke to me, and I just wanted to run out of there. Like, do not talk to me. Try and sell me your blue book. I was raised Catholic. We had books too. We had money in the plate, and the priest was a molester, and I know you people. Because I've got it all figured out. So, but what actually got me to stay in program, apart, like, I probably weighed 40 pounds less, that was attractive, and probably weighed about 20 pounds more. And what finally got me into program and to keep coming back to meetings was the constant chatter in my head, the conversation that just went on all day. I was so tired of even now saying, like, this is annoying me. Just all the time, the constant judgment, the constant this, that, calories, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, oh my God, I just want my head to shut up, just shut up. And so I came to meetings and I got a sponsor and I just lied to her. I'm not going to eat, no. And I'd just go by the supermarket on the way home, binge. And I really am an advocate of the key to my recovery has been honesty. And the first person I had to be honest with was myself and actually admit what I was doing to myself. And so it then became a process of me finally calling her after I'd binged. I don't want to call her before because she might make me not binge. So what's the point of that? That's silly. I'm going to do that. I wouldn't dare risk that. God forbid you take my food. And I look back now too. I used to work in nightclubs back in Australia, and I remember my poor old boss, like, we'd go at 4 a.m. and have a plate of chips. I stabbed his hand with a fork because he was taking one of my fries. I didn't draw blood. You know, I just kind of nicked it a little. I get the point. You know, recovery for me today is I go out and, like, I'm the sharer. I was so opposed to sharing. I was like, if you take more than what I think is my allotted amount, I may not live. I may not be okay. And now I'm like, taste, that's such freedom, it's amazing. And anyway, where was I at? So, oh yes, being honest with my sponsor. And eventually I got to not throwing up. That was my bottom line. I was like, okay, I can do that. So I didn't throw up, but I was like, all these three meals and a snack thing, I'm like, well, how much can I fit on my plate? You know, like, okay, yeah, this sounds good. And, you know, no, understandably, you know, people come into program and on here, this is my story, is I put on weight in program, really uncomfortable, really didn't understand it, really hated it, and, you know, began the gradual process of the more honesty with my sponsor, and after not throwing up for 6 months, I thought I'd throw up just once. So 6 months after that again, of just throwing up just once, that went on for 6 months, I got that abstinence back again of just not throwing up. And I was very, coming from the vegan background, that was very good food, bad food, calorie, all that sort of stuff. So it was very much a process of, you know, it's me trying to eat the right foods and just binging on, you know, whatever, and calling it a meal, and that was the best I could do. And there were nights when I went to bed and there was food up to here, and it was just absolutely disgusting. I felt like crap. Went to sleep, wake up the next day, and gradually I had to learn how to not eat the right foods that I thought were right, but, like, I didn't even know what hunger was. Like, what was that? I didn't know what feelings were. I mean, there was a meeting in Hollywood and it had all these faces of expressions of what a feeling was, and I was like, oh, I was like, oh, there's a lot of feelings, isn't there? There's, like, a lot of faces. I was just like, oh, what's that? Oh, like, just so disconnected. I was just no connection to anything. I was just, you know, hanging on to my food to get through life, basically, and, you know, hanging on to food so that I thought I was in control of the world, and hanging on to food just because it made me feel good at the time, you know. And so then I went through a process of I putting on weight, and I was having this particular food every night. I'd eat my dinner and then I'd have that as the snack afterwards. I'm like, why don't I just have that snack thing that I know I'm going to have, because I always had it, for my dinner? And then, like, 3 months of that, like, the dinner came and I'm like, I'd like some vegetables. Someone had entered my apartment and not told me. And I was like so shocked that actually I would choose, or my body wanted something healthy. That was kind of amazing to me. And that kind of started the downward path of God, it was annoying to go out with me when I was in those food and things. Like, all the parameters I had of what I couldn't eat, it's just so sad, really, because I just had to... so focused on myself for so long, and no consideration of how my actions or thoughts would affect anybody else. No thought of how it affected my family or anything. Just so self-consumed with myself, and so I went down the path of learning how to eat what I wanted and having what I wanted. And then the next part for me was, because I put on weight, I was like, if I accept myself for this weight, then that to me was, I'm going to stay there. So I ain't doing that. That's, no means no. And I went to this meeting, and this poor girl, I felt so bad for her. She was talking, she was all happy, and she was like, I love myself. And I was so embarrassed for her, because I didn't think she realized that she said it out loud. I was like, we all heard you. It was so embarrassing. And, God has a sense of humor. Most of my recovery has come from me focusing on loving myself and retaping those negative messages. And a sponsor got me to like look in the mirror one time and write down all the crap that my head told me. But I was like, oh my God, that's really mean stuff. Like, that's what I walk around with all the time, just constantly, and write the opposite. And they became my affirmations. And slowly but surely, like, learning to love and accept my body at a weight that was totally unacceptable to me was actually the key when I started losing weight. Everything works backwards for me, it seems, with this program. And I'm glad, because I don't think I would have stayed. If I had like figured out the food and the weight, I would have been like, oh, that's really nice knowing your people, but like, Saturday afternoon, got other things to do. Like, think about myself. Yeah. So that was really great. And then what happened? So my food, like the whole three meals and a snack thing, getting to like regular, it took me a good 5 years of just not throwing up and figuring out food and figuring out all that sort of stuff. Like, for someone who I think I'm kind of smart, really slow, really didn't get this, really two steps forward, one step back all the time. The only thing I've done consistently is come to meetings, and I've always been a member of OA, and what really kicked in the full steam recovery for me was, apparently there's these steps people do. I don't know. So I was fine. And when I was trying to make that transition of, like, my meals were huge, and that one sponsor was like, she said she would take me through the steps, like, one every week. And lo and behold, the fourth step in there, my food just started, the plates just started getting smaller. And I had this sensation. It's called full. And you stop eating when it happens. It was so new to me, because my full was full, keep eating. And I also, what was a big tool for me and learning about when I was hungry and when I wasn't, was prayer. And I asked God to help me make loving choices, not healthy choices, because sometimes a loving choice for me is dessert. And help me stop eating when I'm full. You know, and it was so weird. I was like, I want to eat more, but I'm so full. And I was like, that couldn't possibly have been enough to eat. And it's amazing, because as I said earlier, I was raised Catholic, and, you know, this God thing, I was like, I'm not buying that, you know. I used to go to church, and I'm like, the people aren't that nice to each other, and the guy at the front saying be nice to each other, and, you know, you go out and the neighbours are all good. I'm like, I don't know. And the plate kept going around, I'm like, I don't know, because they're sending it around, like, more every week, and I'm like, I don't know about this guy. And okay, great. And so it was a slow process. And I went through the steps, and I did them the big book way. She was really cool. She had an exercise book, and each did a fear inventory, resentment inventory, sexual inventory, and which one?
Resentment.
Yeah, resentment one. All of them. And people appeared on them multiple times. And I just put down everyone's name I knew, because I really didn't know too much. I was like, oh, I know this person. I'm sure I did something. Whatever. Well, I'm sure they did something to me. So the ninth step was pretty funny. And I'm completely all over the place, but hopefully you'll get something out of something. And if not, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because it's not about me. I just have to laugh at myself a lot. I just try so hard sometimes. I went to this store in Australia where I had stolen like a gym outfit. And I went to the store and I got the manager, and then she was so embarrassed, felt so bad for me. She's like, sorry love, we don't sell that stuff. I think it's one store down. And I was just like, oh my God, it was my first man. I've got so much courage to get in store and be green, turned red. She's like, I'm sorry, love, we've never sold that. The other store.
Oh, God.
Like, thank God, I get it. This doesn't have to be so serious. You know, and for me, my amends were really, like, because I obviously was a bit of a stealer, because then there was this other store that I took a top from. And, you know, I was so uncomfortable because the woman was like, so, oh, my God, I'm so impressed, and you've made my day, and da-da-da. I'm like, okay, just take the money, please. And, you know, what I've gotten from program, you know, besides great and wonderful people in my life, is I have sort of respect for myself now, and I really try to make decisions based on, you know, if I liked myself, what would I do? Because my whole upbringing was, and I don't think it was taught or anything, my parents were great, none of my brothers and sisters had this thing, you know, just, you're a piece of shit, you need to be the best and famous and, like, have the most amount of money or you're nothing. You know, I'm still in process of figuring out what I want to be when I grow up. You know, I've worked for a bunch of people and a bunch of people in this town, and I'm like, well, no, really, okay, you know, I really don't want to be that. And also had some great experiences as well, you know, and that's what this program's taught me too, about finding what's good in me, what's good in life, what's good in people. Because I used to be I could see someone walk in a room, and it's all just a reflection of how I felt about myself. Because I found fault in everything I did and everything I physically saw about myself. That's all I saw in other people. And, you know, I'm so grateful that basically I've been given a second chance at life. Like, literally, the way I thought has been taken out of my head and a new way of thinking has been put in my head. And the only way that was achieved was through the steps, I think. And, yeah, so sometimes I have a little voice and that sort of stuff, but it's just like, you know, thanks for sharing, dude, you know, whatever. And, like, I'm very friends with my higher power. I'm like, dude, if you want me to do whatever you want me to do, don't make me figure it out. Map it out. Happy to do it. Don't make this a puzzle. Okay? A little slow here. Red neon signs. Go. You know, I'm very happy to be of service and do God's will. Just don't make me have to figure it out too much. And, you know, and who gets the most gifts? Me. When I'm in service, who gets to feel good? Me. Like, I'm able to be in the world today in a way that I can go anywhere, any room, and speak to anyone, pretty much. And, you know, before it was like, oh, I'm too fat, or I can't go to the party, or, oh, what are they going to think of me, or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's so not about me. Life is so not about me, and I'm so relieved that it's not about me, and I'm so relieved that I don't know anything, because then I have freedom. And peace of mind is the biggest gift that I have been given from this program. And it's free. It's also a good thing. And it's available at any time. And I didn't realize, actually, how much of a negative thinker I was. I just thought it was a way to motivate myself. And I thought being a perfectionist was a good quality. And I'm also lately learning that the people-pleaser thing really is another form of me not being vulnerable. Because if I focus on you and let you continually talk about yourself for 10 years, then you don't actually have to know me, but I'm a really good friend and you really like me. So I get to be in control and not be vulnerable. So that's the latest lesson. You know, my poor husband, he cops the worst of it, really. I'm so bad at this program with him. Like, I'm really good at it with other people, and he is my... Because he just did what I said. Everything is fine. Yeah. And I love that he's never been to a meeting. We've been married for 6 years. And because he'll just hear things in passing, and one time he's like, hey, why don't you put it in your God box? I'm going to take you down, honey. I'm going to take you down. Like, you better get yourself a God box, and you better get it real quick. So it's like, it's funny, you know. I mean, I have to have a sense of humour with this program. And I was so depressed and angry and bitter for so long, internally. Like, externally, I was pretty happy and that sort of stuff. But internally, like, the crap that went on in my head, and just so black, such a black, black place, and so lonely. I mean, that was the biggest thing, was I was a night eater. Like, I could pretty much breakfast, lunch, no problem, dinner, come dark, oh, gee, gotta eat, gonna die. You know, I was like, really, and it'll start tomorrow. And the biggest change was one night when I didn't have the food, and I believe the reason why I ate was like the intense loneliness that the food covered for me. Physically, I thought I was going to die. I was in a ball on the floor crying, and this happened 2 nights in a row. I have never felt that way since. I physically thought I was dying. And the food, I didn't even seem to have the food, it was just because it was so paralyzing, I couldn't even move. And it was like, oh, that would be loneliness. That would be loneliness. Don't ever want to go there again. And, you know, I have moments of that these days, but it's so, you know, I have a God today, which is just baffling. You know, it's just like, what is that? Because I didn't understand that whole higher power thing. So someone said, write a list of what you want your higher power. Your higher power is going to be in charge of your life. I'm like, in charge of my life? Okay, fine. Put a paper out. Right. Knows the answer to every question that I have before I ask it. No, wants me to be happy, you know, can make better choices for me. Like, I was like, okay, if this thing's going to be taken care of my life, it better, like, cover every single aspect of every thought, every wall I can put up, every single thing that can possibly, you know, be done to just go against myself. And so it's almost like a given today. Like, I don't visualize something anymore. I had to do that at first because I wanted something tangible, because this faith thing, which was this out there thing, I was like, no, I need something tangible that I can see to believe. And that's been really, really cool and really helpful. It was very helpful, that's for sure. And the latest thing, 10 years in recovery, tell you what works, meditation. Sort through prayer and meditation. I was asking for years, wasn't listening. And it's only been in the past year that I have, number one, been able to sit still and actually listen. And it's for me, even if it's just a de-stressor, it's like it's an allotted amount of time where I'm consciously trying to make an effort to listen to my higher power. Doesn't matter if it works or it doesn't work or whatever, but my life seems to flow more steadily. I really don't have drama in my life today at all. I feel like I'm going through another cleanup crew with my life, where it's like, what relationships are working, what relationships am I, you know, hanging on to out of defects, you know, and you know, it's amazing for me, who was so worried about myself and my place in the world, that, you know, the safest way for me to be, and my first thought is, how can I be of service, or what can I bring to a situation? It's so freeing. You know, than thinking that the world is on my shoulders or that I need to figure everything out. And my sponsor's been really good with me lately. She's, it's real simple. Get up every day. What's the joy? Where's the joy today? How can I bring joy? I'm like, oh. You know, because for me, it's been, you know, I got into program and it's like I can get so into working the program. It's like, yeah, I work my program and this is my foundation, so I have a life. You know, so that I can enjoy my life. And, you know, so sometimes I don't go to as many meetings, sometimes I go to more. I have sponsees, I have a couple that call me every day, I have a couple that call me whenever, I have a couple that just send me their food, and, you know, try to meditate imperfectly, you know, maybe 5 times a week. And that's another big key issue for me too, is like just not doing it perfectly. You know, my head will still tell me, you know, that 10 to 15 pounds could make a difference, just drop it, come on, you can do it. And it's like any time I focus on trying to lose weight, the opposite happens.
Yeah.
You know? And if you, I mean, I didn't understand. I'm like, what do you mean if I have a higher power and I work on my spiritual life, my food will get in order? Like, I don't understand. And that's been another gift today, for me today, because my mother reminds me that all I did as a child was walk around going, but why? But how annoying is that? But why? But why? But why? But why? And to anything she said, well, the voice was like, but why? Ask your father. You know? And, you know, I'm just such an inquisitive, like, I want to know how this is going to work. I want to know where I'm going to be. And, you know, as I referred to the negative thinking, I also didn't realize how fear-based I was. I'm just terrified to be here on the planet. Period. Like, no wonder why I had food, you know? Like, I just, my anxiety of that I'm not going to be taken care of or that something's going to happen to me was just so high. And it's weird. It's kind of happening when my husband drives the car now. I'm kind of like, everything, this program was for me and everything. And my son's like, well, you're just going to have to pray about it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's just, you know, I'm just so scared because we hit the back of a car one time and I just keep thinking that's going to happen again. And my anxiety, it's like this disease. It was just, like, just grips me and it just becomes the focus. And, you know, the freedom that the program gives me is an opportunity to think another way. Like, my way may not be the best way, to... Now, the big thing I've got from the program is that I don't have to know the answer. That's the cool bit. And it's amazing when I just spend my day... Like, my life is pretty good. Yes, I could have more money. Yes, I could have a different car. Yes, my husband would be XYZ more. All these things. But ultimately, having peace of mind most of the day, having the freedom to, be creative, to be self-supporting. You know, God's got the weirdest job for me. It's so funny. It's taping, so I'm not going to say. But, isn't that terrible? Putting that out there and just taking it away. Basically, there's like this phone voice thing, and I have to evaluate these people to say whether or not they're really good at it or they're not good at it. So this is a very easy job that I do from home so I can pursue other things. And, that's been another thing, is like, if anything, the anorexic side has probably shown itself more after being in program for a while, with like the little thinking, small thinking, like the fear of financial insecurity and all that sort of stuff. I thought when I came here, I thought you people were going to tell me I was going to win the lottery and have financial security. What I've learned is I don't have financial insecurity anymore, and how I got to practice that too was when I was not at my most abundant, I would put more money in the basket, just because that was the scary thing to do. And that's what I do a lot too, is my head really is in a really cool place to hang out most of the time, so I do the opposite of what it says. That seems to be the most fulfilling. And all the time has given me a program is just more evidence of how God works in my life. That's all it is I have a bit more evidence to say to my head, well, you can do that, but this works and this works and has worked before, so why don't you keep doing what you're doing? Still got time. Wow, okay. Talk a lot. What else do I want to share about? The thing that I love too about how this program was created through people that will be true to me too. I always thought I was the red pebble on the beach, the special and different, good for you, that's great. Terrified to be one of many. I was like, to be one of many, that's kind of less than and not as cool. So I want to be special and different. I was the teenager, shaved her head, eyebrow rings, still got the tattoos. Fine with that. I'm just really glad the tattoo guy talked me out of putting it on my calf. So happy that happened. There is a God. Seriously, I'm mortified today. It was on my calf. I'm like, oh my God. So being one of many is like the freest thing to be. Like the fact that I don't need to know everything, or I'm different from you, or you're doing something better than me, and that we all have a purpose in being here, and my purpose is equally as valuable as everyone else's. That's amazing to me. And basically, my world today is the more I work on my own self-love and compassion and the way I view my life and really tapping out those negative little thoughts and the I don't have and the whiny whine, that's the world that's reflected back to me. And for someone who wants to be in power and control and run the world, that's really empowering. I can't change other people, places and things, but I can certainly change the way I feel about myself with my higher power's help and through practice and through, taking different actions and just creating new patterns, basically. And I think I've kind of got into my disease at 13. I've been abstinent 10 years now, so I'm about 23. In my maturity, maybe. Maybe not. So I'm getting some sense of responsibility. And it's just really amazing to me that my solution to my happiness was becoming a part of a group. I really never liked groups. Never liked them at all. Becoming part of a group and revealing, who I am, basically. It's terrifying. I just wanted to be perfect. If you're perfect and you're thin, then you're lovable, right? So not my story. I'm just so grateful that, my higher power has got a man in my life that is the opposite of me. Most things. And I've just got to try to not make him like me. That's my job now, I've realised. I'm like, oh my God, why do you want him to be like you? Really? Seriously, stop. I'm like, really, you don't want to deal with another you. Let him be who he is. And when I met him, he was, he's the kind of guy who's like, I'll trust you until you, do something, and I'm like, well, will you give me a reason to trust you, and then we'll talk about it. You know? So, and the way that I met him was really weird, too. Like, you know, it's so weird. Like, and I can't believe the corniest thing about the whole South Florida thing is it just made me ripple with embarrassment when that girl said it. And that's been the biggest touchstone for me of my recovery. And even me and my husband, you know, they're like, yeah, I got to a point where I just did what I was told. You know, eventually I learned to just do what, don't change the steps, Julianne. Just, they're written there for a reason. They've worked before. You don't need to fix them. You know, I was a little rule breaker. I was always, you know, always looking for the rule, the out, or to, you know, oh, I'll bring my library books back a week late, you know, take them out through the, you know, there's always something going on, you know, it'll be a little different, you know. And I find that being a part of and following the rules is a really, you know, respectful way to be in the world, because it respects my fellows. And I'm a big, in OA now too, I'm the rule follower. I'm like, oh, I was at a meeting and the gentleman said, no, you're not allowed to read outside literature, and went ahead and read it, and I'm like, oh, no, stop. But, and I'm grateful, because it's such a sacred place. Like, what other place in the world can you go where no one's allowed to comment on what you say? You don't have to do anything. That's all suggestions. You can be exactly who you are. You can show up if you want. You don't have to pay anything if you don't want to. You can if you can. And it's always here, constantly, you know. And we have a common denominator where, I mean, my husband doesn't have a list of phone numbers where if he's not feeling so great, he can just call a number in any country. God, I wish he would sometimes. You know, I do. I mean, what a gift is that? That I can be in any country and walk into any OA meeting, or if there's no OA meetings, go to an AA meeting or whatever, and totally have a connection with other people that understand on some level where I come from. And it doesn't matter what race, what job, or financial level. It's so different than being in the outside world. It's like the one safe, sacred place where you're enough, basically. You know, I'm enough. And, you know, it's my responsibility to keep working on myself so that I am a contributor to society today. So not my thinking, so not my words. You know, that's high power right there. That, you know, that is my goal. You know, that's amazing to me, that it's like, what can I bring? How can I help you? And, you know, in social situations, especially I have a couple of sponsees and they're just getting in the going out phase and leaving the house phase. They're leaving the house, people. you know, it's like, tell the girl that you're afraid of that her dress just looks awesome. Why have to speak to her? But she's so pretty. I'm like, absolutely, yes, that's what you need to do. You know, that's what I did. That's what I was told. And it's like, you know, I get to focus on other people and I'm making them feel good. And the balance with that is not at the cost of, you know, abandoning myself. Like, I need to have my well pretty full to be able to give that away. And I think I jumped off the husband thing. A friend told me in program, they're like, well, write all the qualities you want in a man and you become them. I'm like, fine. And then I'm like, you know what? I took the treat yourself, pal. Treat yourself how you want others to treat you, or however it goes. Literally, I went to the florist. I brought the flowers. I wrote myself a card. Dear Julianne, she's the florist looking at me, I'm like, it's fine. I love you. I think you're fantastic. Because I was always seeking from outside sort of stuff, you know, and it's like, I just, you know, always wanted to be filled up from the outside, hence the food and the constant shoveling. And that was pretty funny about how all that worked. And it was so uncomfortable, and all the uncomfortable things I've done really have actually, you know, eventually given me a grand amount of joy. And I'm also, you know, in program today too. It's like, you know, life is really sucky for a long time. You know, I just want to have a good time and have some fun and, you know, enjoy people. And I don't, you know, sometimes I have people in my life and program and they're very into their feelings, and I'm into my feelings a little, but I can't hang out there too long because then my life gets dictated by them. And I can't, you know, sometimes my feelings don't come from a esteemable place, so they can't actually be facts for me. So I need to, that's why my sponsor and keeping in touch with people is really important to me. And I even, you know, 10 years in, I'm really good at answering the phone. I'm still not that great at making them. I'm still much more comfortable listening and, you know, doing that sort of stuff. And hence some of my friends that I'm now practicing talking about myself with, yeah, they're so interested in listening because I've set it up where they get to talk all the time. And they're like, yeah. okay, I gotta go. Someone else listen to me. So life is changing, but like everything else, I know that, you know, when my higher power takes stuff out of my life, it gets filled with other more loving choices. And can we finish there now?
Take some questions.
Yeah, questions.
Yes. Hi, thank you very much. What is your abstinence and how did you get to that?
Yes, my abstinence, my bottom line abstinence. Oh, what was my abstinence and how did I get to that? I repeated the question. Oh, and thank you, John, for asking me to be a server today. My abstinence is, well, my food plan is three meals and a snack, and I eat whatever I want. My abstinence is no throwing that up no matter what, and I'm not allowed to beat myself up after whatever I've eaten, basically. That's a big one for me because I would, you know, the shoulds and the shouldn't and the da-da-da-da-da. But I guess my abstinence and food plan is pretty entwined. I know that on the tools and that, they're kind of separated, but I think mine is the three meals and a snack and the no beating myself up plus the no throwing up no matter what. It's kind of it.
Yeah.
So how did you go from Catholicism to a higher power? How did I go from Catholicism to a higher power? Kicking and screaming. I guess I had to totally separate. Well, the good thing was, I think in our teenage years, my parents and that, they sort of stopped going to church and that as well, because I think they were feeling the same sort of thing. And but I did have the very good-bad mentality. So I did what I was told. I follow rules now. I wrote down what I thought. You know, when I thought of a God, what came to mind? Not judging it, and not what I think it should be, but actually what came to mind, or how I actually thought when I thought of a God. And then I got fired that God, a bit of paper, and burned it. And then I got to write what I would like a God of my choosing to be. And then I kind of, you know, I think religion's great, you know, religion works well for people, and for me it's more about just taking the spirituality of things and kind of just kind of rolling them all together. And you know, I think the biggest relief is just me not knowing, having to figure it out. Like, if I could sat and figure it out, or had to figure it all out, I wouldn't be where I am today. I think so. It's kind of like that leap of faith of, I don't know how, it just kind of works, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yes?
Yes, Julia.
Are there foods that cause you an allergy of the body? Oh, are there foods that cause me an allergy of the body? Yes, I went through a period where I didn't eat sugar, because I couldn't stop eating it. Dairy sometimes I'm a little allergic to, keep eating that. And but it's been a process, like it's got to the point now where I can have anything, but I did have periods through the 10 years where I didn't eat sugar at all, or I didn't eat like, you know, bags of things that didn't have an end, because the end was the end. So that's probably been the biggest thing. And that's, you know, the truth is a lot of times I'll have things and sometimes it just doesn't make me feel good. And that's the barometer. So it's like, God, that kind of felt shitty. Well, maybe we won't have that for dinner, you know. And then the next week again I'll have another bite of it and I'll be like, oh, yeah, still makes me feel shitty. Oh, okay, that's just, you know, so that's kind of been. Before today, you know, if anything, my diet's got even broader. Like, I never used to eat fish. I love fish. Now. That's it.